our industry's visibility was raised not by us, but by those who really saw what we were doing in some way as unnecessary or excessive or egregious given what was happening with the economy and the financial crisis. And I think that's when we recognized this is a big problem for us, and it's sort of been sitting there all along. And we were able to bring together all of the major industry associations. You know, we wrote a set of guidelines that we believed could address the TARP recipient luxury guidelines that Treasury was going to put out. We went to the Hill, we met with congressmen, we met with senators, and ultimately, after the Northern Trust Program, where we were blasted for spending money and having a celebrity golf event, and that was when the ad was put in the paper that said, you want to lose a million jobs, keep on talking. That's what led to the meeting with President Obama. And after that was when the rhetoric really slowed down quite a bit, and the administration came out and said they did support business travel. That's when we really got in front of people like Secretary Geithner, Janet Napolitano, Christopher Dodd, and others to talk about the value and the jobs that are connected to what we do, particularly in meetings and conventions, and that a lot of the people that were being hurt by the rhetoric weren't senior executives. These were the bellmen and the maids, and so that story, the face of travel, and trying to put that out there to quiet down all of the negativity that the media was picking up. We've got to have a grassroots effort. We've got to organize the people that work in this industry to understand where, you know, if we're gonna vote in November. Well, do we even know as an industry where some of these representatives stand or their views on our industry? We don't. So through the U.S. Travel Association really taking the lead for the industry in this area of advocacy and lobbying, that's one piece. But we've got to do a lot inside of corporations as well to better educate, in particular, the finance and procurement side on the value of what we do in the hospitality industry. There's no getting around the fact that it's not just going to go back to the way it used to be. And I think some of that is driven by the economy. But as I said this morning, we believe actually that more of it's being driven by just the societal change that we're seeing. And technology is a big part of that. I don't think we can continue to conduct meetings and programs the way we used to, because the expectations that people have about being able to collaborate and interact are quite different. And so we've got to think differently about the way we design programs and the way we deliver them and really include the voice of the participant in that process. This whole idea of collaboration and that it is two-way and that technology helps facilitate that even during a live event is a big idea. I think even for the hotel industry, just room setups. You know, are we setting up rooms in a way that fosters collaboration and interaction, or are we setting up meeting rooms where people are uncomfortable in their seat and they're sitting for several hours with one-way communication? So we just did an event where the breakout rooms were all set up with couches and coffee tables, and it's about the environment. A lot of it is about the environment. The research that we've done or working with the Maritz Institute has really been to just look at the data that already exists through studies that were done through psychology and neuroscience to say, what is it that we know about humans and the way they behave? We now plan to do primary research where we want to go out to participants. Now, we have some of that data at Maritz Travel because we survey all participants after every program. But as I said in the session, the questions we've generally asked people in guest satisfaction or in our own was, did you like the hotel? How was your room? How was the food? How was the entertainer? And I think what we've got to get to is, what was the purpose of the meeting? And let's ask questions about, did we deliver against that business objective? As opposed to only asking questions about, you know, the experience disconnected from the business objective. And that is noise when you're in front of the finance and procurement people who want to have the case made for why do we need to bring 5,000 people together in Las Vegas versus why can't we just deliver this information via a virtual technology tool? And sometimes that does work. I think we are going to see more regional. We are already seeing more regionalized meetings, because if you watch what people do when they're together in very large groups, they tend to stick with the smaller group of people that they know and work with, whether that's a geographic or based on project that they work together. So I think even the organization of determining who needs to be there live, the opportunity as well with technology is we can now extend the message and the content well beyond the people that are actually invited to the meeting. And we have some customers where they may bring 2,000 salespeople together in one location and now conduct regional meetings around the country or around the world where information is broadcast live. And then in smaller groups, they can discuss and talk about their business issues. So in some ways, participating in the meeting, but not being at the larger event. So we call that now hybrid events. I think we are seeing continued growth in our business. I think that the good news is our customers, senior executives, really understand, and I think HR is playing a big role. There's a great concern that as we do come out of this recession, that people, turnover has been very low, unemployment is still very high. There is a concern whether or not you'll be able to retain your top talent and your best people if you don't build relationship, if you don't bring them together, if you don't connect with them. And what the paper talks about is the best way to connect with them is in a face-to-face environment. So I think it is all those things we've intuitively known, but we've got to do a better job of making the case for why. The expectations are only getting higher. So it's a conversation somebody had about, a luxury brand and, is all that stuff really necessary? Well, that depends. What experience are you trying to create? It has to go back to the business objective. What am I trying to accomplish? And sometimes I need to have a luxury brand experience if I'm going to attract and engage this audience for this purpose. Other times, maybe I can solve that, I can reach that objective doing something different. But this idea that what's happened, unfortunately, and I think this goes to a lot of what's going on in the real estate market, is people are able to get a luxury brand experience at a price that is not sustainable. And where or how that's going to resolve itself, I wish I could say I believed it would be quick. I think that is going to happen over a longer period of time. So until some of these hotels that were built, recently, especially, at the top end of the market, until those properties are refinanced, until all of this shakes out, the dilemma, and there is a great dilemma then for those who are in those same markets, who maybe didn't have the same level of property, the luxury brand discounting really puts a lot of pressure on the hotels that don't currently have a problem. So that's why I do talk about it is not healthy for our industry or sustainable that we live in the buyer's market and where rates are just compressed the way that they are.